a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your patience. We're in the last 2 weeks and are trying to get a number of things organized here. So thank you for your patience, for you visiting. And senators, the South Dakota Senate will come to order. And leading us in our prayer today is Pastor Sarah Goldhammer from the Fort Pierre Ministerium. And we have two very dedicated pages who are leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance this afternoon. Adrian Del Grasso from Huron and Alexandra Mattern from Aberdeen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here together, we just ask that you be here and amongst us, that you would lead this place and the legislators, that we would make decisions that would be favorable to you, that we would glorify you and the people of South Dakota. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein, Begalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Ewing, Frericks, Heineman, Holeen, Hunhoff, Jensen, Johnston, Jones, Kirkaby, Krebs, Lederman, Lucas, Maher, Monroe, Nordstrup, Olson, Umdahl, Otten, Peters, Rampelberg, Rave, Rose, Soholt, Sutton, Tiedemann, Thiessen, Van Gerpen, Valley, Welke, White. Mr. President, quorum present.
Thank you, ma'am. Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 29th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully, Corey Brown, Chair.
All those in favor of approval signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen who are watching, listening, and those that are here at your state capitol, welcome. On behalf of the South Dakota Senate and the senators, it's a real privilege to have you here to be part of your government and citizens who self-govern. And it's very important for us to recognize individuals who are physically here. And especially on behalf of all the senators today, we're really privileged and honored to have our friends from the South Dakota Electric Cooperatives. It's South Dakota Electric Cooperative Day today, and we want to thank you for lunch, but for actually bringing electricity to our areas and for making sure that we are successful throughout the state of South Dakota and all your leadership. I know that a number of you volunteer on boards, not only for the co-ops, but for your community, and that's really part of self-governance. So thank you very much, and let's recognize everyone here today for South Dakota Electric Co-op Day. Now we have on behalf of Senator Tiedemann, the 8th grade class from Mickelson Middle School. Let me see. Is it right there? 8th grade. Wow. Where are you going to college next year? Oh, I think I've skipped something. We're sure privileged to have you here, and we want to especially thank the chaperones. We have Linda Brandt. Jim Gilkerson is up there. Where's Jim? Oh, he made a wrong choice. That's too bad. And Senator Pam Merchant, welcome back. Thank you. All you young people, stand so we can give you applause. When Jim Gilkerson comes in, then why don't you all leave and trick him? We also have dedicated physicians throughout the state that really donate their whole day today, and then the providers that are back at their home taking care of their patients fill in, and obviously this is always a busy season, not only here, but back in their practices. And Dr. Victoria Walker, where are you, doctor? Oh, there you are. Good to see you, doctor, from the great city of Yankton. Thank you for being here. Uh, I wouldn't sit that close to Merlin. It really is contagious disease time of the year, isn't it? At least have him cover his mouth. Merlin, come on. Okay. Any other personal privileges or announcements? What we're doing right now is obviously bills have come over from the House for us to deal with. They've gone through some committees or they haven't passed out of committees, and we have to do that orally, and you'll see our secretary reading that, and that's necessary because the Constitution requires it so people can keep track of what was transpiring, and this was before we obviously had computers, the Constitution was drafted. So our next order of business is reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bills 12, 13, 18, 19, 23, 27, 32, 41, 45, 52, 67, 72, 78, and 85 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 11:50 a.m. February 26, 2013. Respectfully, Corey Brown, Chair. Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 3, 14, 22, 29, 30, 33, 35, 36, 56, 68, 69, 86, 88, 103, 118, 181, and 239 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully, Corey Brown, Chair. The Committee on Judiciary reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1150 and 1226 and recommends do pass consent, and House Bill 1096, which we recommend refer to Committee on Appropriations. Craig Teason, Chair. The Committee on Commerce and Energy reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1102, 1103, 1191, and 1194 and recommends do pass consent, and House Bill 1234 and recommends do pass as amended. Reed Holt, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1017, 1083, 1093, and 1187 and recommends do pass, and House Bills 1059 and 1062 and recommends do pass consent calendar. Chantel Krebs, Chair.
Messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with SCR 3, in which the House has concurred. Also, I have the honor to transmit here with HCR 1009, 1010, and 1011, which have been adopted by the House, and your concurrence is respectfully requested. Also, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has concurred in Senate amendments to HB 1074, 1091, and 1127. Also, I have the honor to return herewith Senate Bills 3, 14, 22, 29, 30, 33, 35, 36, 56, 68, 69, 86, 88, 103, 118, 181, and 239, which have passed the House without change. Also, I have the honor to return herewith Senate Bills 96, 141, 145, 151, and 156, which have been amended by the House, and your concurrence in the amendments is respectfully requested. Arlene Kavislin, Chief Clerk.
Our next order of business is motions and resolutions.
Senator Olson moves that SCR 5, House Bill 1163, 1030, 1239, 1164, 1033, and 1068 be deferred to Wednesday, February 27th, the 31st legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Got to be a little louder. It's early.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4. A concurrent resolution making a formal application to Congress to call a limited constitutional convention for the sole purpose of proposing for ratification an amendment to the Constitution providing that an increase in the federal debt requires approval from a majority of the legislatures of the separate states.
SCR 4 was read, and the President announces referral to the Committee on Commerce by the President pro tem.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1009, a concurrent resolution recognizing South Dakota's 125th birthday, quas consensual during 2004. Quas quicentensial. I'm sorry. House Bill 1010, Concurrent Resolution 1010, recognizing the achievements of President Gerald Ford. And Concurrent Resolution 1011, encouraging pedestrians and bicyclists to wear bright colored clothing when using a public highway and for motorists to watch for pedestrians and bicyclists.
Are you going to try it?
The microphone and the speaker system must not be working. Which centennial was that?
Yeah, I knew. Sesquicentennial.
Can I try it one more time?
That's it. The House Concurrent Resolution 1009, 1010, 1011, referral to committee has been waived, and they will be calendared for tomorrow, the 31st legislative day.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6, a concurrent resolution requesting the Congress of the United States to enact legislation that would reinstate the separation of commercial and investment banking functions that were in effect under the Glass-Steagall Act, Banking Act of 1933. Senator Vigalka moves that SCR 6, as found on page 560 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Comments on that motion? Senator Vigalka, good afternoon.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to make a few comments as I bring SCR 6 to you. I'm happy to announce we have a majority of both the House and Senate members who have signed on to this. This Glass-Steagall, it is commonly called, was first passed in 1933 in Washington as a response to the stock market crash of 1929. It limited the speculative operations of commercial banks, prevented big Wall Street and international banks from looting the real assets of the real physical economy, such as our own home and business mortgages. Then in the 80s and 90s, regulators began to loosen this up, and we began to see speculating into risky derivatives. First, they would allow 5%, then 10%, and eventually up to 25% before they finally and unfortunately decided to repeal Glass-Steagall in 1999. What resulted is that began hanging the gambling loss on the world bankers onto the public, which, as we know, led to big bank bailouts, the Dodd-Frank Act, creating of several trillion dollars of fictitious debt and runaway inflation. And we've seen many of our industrial and manufacturing jobs lost to foreign countries. We need a sound economic credit system free of speculation and risky derivatives on the world debt market. So I'm asking you to help prevent American taxpayers from being called on to bail out financial institutions to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. If we do pass this, and this, of course, is a resolution urging Congress to return to the Glass-Steagall, they'll still be able to underwrite securities. They just won't be able to use our money that we've deposited in their banks. I do have endorsement emails from several community bankers from South Dakota supporting this. And I would ask you to seriously consider passing this resolution, sending on over to the House for their concurrence to help please ensure future growth and security in our state, our country, and around the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on SCR 6. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I think most of you know I'm a retired banker, and I've been around long enough so that I was banking when we were subject to Glass-Steagall, and I was one of those that was lobbying hard through our banking association to remove Glass-Steagall because it allowed me to do some competitive things. What Senator Vigalka talked about is true. Back in the 30s when we had the Great Depression, we had bankings that closed and they failed, and a lot of people lost a lot of money, and we've done a lot of things since that time. When Glass-Steagall was eventually, well, let me back up a little bit. What Glass-Steagall prevented me as a banker from doing was providing kind of one-stop financial products for my customers. And so the guy across the street that was selling stocks and bonds, he had a checking account. He could make a car loan. He could make a house loan. He could do basically everything that I could do as a banker. He didn't have FDIC insurance, but he did his own thing by buying insurance. He could do everything I could do as a banker, but I could do nothing that he could do, so to speak, under the laws. So eventually we got that change. The bank set up firewalls between the two. They developed regulations. The banking regulators promulgated rules to make sure that the banks weren't taking this money and investing it in things that were risky. And you couldn't buy stock. We mentioned this earlier. As a bank, you could not invest in the stock market. You had certain things that you could invest in. But along the way, we had very smart people created a lot of instruments. One of them is called mortgage-backed securities. And you know what? Congress was told at one point that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were buying mortgage-backed securities from underwriters that did not meet the criteria that had been the standard for 100 years. And guess what Congress did? They refused to do anything about it. And it had nothing to do with Glass-Steagall. Guess what else happened? There were things called derivatives, reverse mortgage-backed swaps. There were all these exotic instruments that extremely bright people came up with. People went to Congress and said, you need to regulate these. These things are extremely dangerous. Guess what Congress did? Absolutely nothing. So leave it alone. It'll be all right. You're going to shut down our economy if you regulate these particular instruments. So what's happened right now is when you go back to what happened in 2008, you know, we had a perfect storm. All of these Treasury, let me back up one more step. What was happening is that the banks, if you want to pick on them, we're not investing the money. If my bank is an example, Jim White's bank, other banks, we weren't investing in instruments that we shouldn't have because you know why? The regulators beat the tar out of us if we did. And that's true of all banks. It wasn't just our small bank. But the Treasury Department of the holding company were not being regulated like the rest of us were. And that wasn't only true of banks. That was true of every big corporation you want to think about. Those Treasury departments were leveraging the capital in their companies to invest in these things because they made a lot of money and their bonuses were extremely big. So the very people that are in the federal government right now that we're asking to fix these things, well, the very ones that lobbied Congress to allow these things to happen and refused to do the legislating regulatory things that should have been done 10, 15, 20 years ago. We wouldn't have this problem today if people who have banking background would have been in charge of setting up regulations. Even the banking regulators, they know better than this. Well, now what we're talking about right now sounds good. You think, well, gosh, we'll just pass Glass-Steagall and that's going to fix everything. I'm telling you, folks, Glass-Steagall, we've got the investment bankers that do a good job and we got some investment bankers. Why do you think Goldman Sachs went upside down? Because they bet the bank on these exotic instruments, derivatives. I just got to tell you, Mr. President, I'll shut down pretty quick here, but when I was in Minneapolis in our holding company one time, this was years ago, we were investing, at that time our Treasury Department was financing F-16 jets for Saudi Arabia. They were financing railroad engines for Brazil. And I'm thinking, what in the world is our Treasury Department in Minneapolis, 200 banks, doing rolling the dice? That's what's been happening around our country. That's why we're in the problem. Then the second point, guess what happened with the speculation with crude oil? $147 a barrel. Wow. Took billions out of our economy. And then you had these mortgage-backed securities. I bought those mortgage-backed securities. And what happened was when we had a few poison pills, they said these mortgage-backed securities are no longer worth anything. You had to write them off your balance sheet. Guess what that did to your capital? It was gone. And all of a sudden, if you had a 6 or 7% capital, you might have a 3 or 4%. And then the regulators came in and said, either put more capital in the bank or we're going to shut you down. And you know what? 90% of those mortgage-backed securities, and maybe even more, are going to be paid. It's all kind of a hysteria that happened at the time. So you had mortgage-backed securities that should never have been allowed to move away from traditional banking. You had the tragedy of allowing the speculation within the oil market, and you had the tragedy of not regulating derivatives. And those are the things that took us down, and it's cost all of us. It's cost people more pain and tragedy than you can think of because the people who were recharged for regulating those risky things refused to do it. Anyway, I could go on and I won't, but the point is, Glass-Steagall's not the answer. Vote for it if you think you can, if you want to, but it's not the answer. We have to do a whole lot more than Glass-Steagall. And you know what, guys, when we passed the Dodd-Frank Act, it had nothing to do with the problems that I just outlined to you. It had nothing to do with it. And the things that I talked about as the problems, they're still out there. There's no regulation to do anything about derivatives, even yet today. Anyway, thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Senator Volley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, this is a little difficult. I agree with a lot of things a prior speaker from Pennington and Fall River and Custer said. But maybe I'm an old traditionalist, but I really feel banks should stay in banking, insurance companies should stay in insurance, investment companies should stay in investment companies. We've allowed the investment companies to get in the insurance or into the banking business, and we've allowed the insurance business to get in the banking business, the banking business to get in the insurance business. I think we're a lot better off if we keep them separate. I've always felt that way. I was in that business. Maybe some of the other people in the bank would disagree with me, but I've always felt that was a mistake when we did that. And this bill is not going to, I totally agree with him. This is not the bill that's going to answer all the questions, but I do feel that we need to separate them out. And just like it is too big to fail, we should never have whatever it was, 17 or 16 banks that are too big to fail. All that does is just encourage inefficiency. It's terrible. This isn't going to solve it, but to me, it's one small step, because I just think they ought to be separate. If you're going to do this to banks, you got to do it through the investment companies. They can't be in the insurance business, and they can't be in the banking business. And the same thing with insurance business. They shouldn't be in the banking business. You know, they need to be their own separate one. And that was the thought way back when, and we've gotten away from that. So, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Volley. Further remarks. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Bogalka's motion that SCR 6 be adopted. Those in favor of adoption will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll, please.
Adelstein.
No.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buell.
No.
Ewing.
No.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heineman.
No.
Pauline.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Kirkaby.
No.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
No.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Umdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
No.
Rampelberg.
No.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
No.
Sutton.
No.
Tiedemann.
No.
Thiessen.
No.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
No.
Senator Bradford, I'm sorry, did you say
aye?
Mr. President, there were ayes 19, nays 16.
Senator Bogalka's motion that SCR 6 having received be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. SCR 6 is so adopted.
House Concurrent Resolution 1007. A concurrent resolution endorsing Taiwan's participation and as an observer in the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, and the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, and the 29th anniversary of sister state relations with the province of Taiwan and the Republic of China, Taiwan. Senator Thiessen moves that the Senate do concur in HCR 1007 as found on page 434 of the House Journal.
Is there a second? Comments on that motion? Senator Thiessen, good afternoon.
Mr. President, thank you very much. This resolution has nothing to do with banking, but it does have to do with our 29th anniversary of our sister state relationship with Taiwan. As you know, Taiwan is sometimes known as the other China. And because of that, they have no formal relationship with our federal government. Instead, through various offices around the country, they establish friendships and relationships with states. And they've done that with South Dakota for a long time. And there's been great opportunities as a result of those relationships. They are a good trade partner. They like to buy our Midwestern grain, particularly wheat. And recently we had a new opportunity in that they They were selected to participate in the visa waiver program, which means the process to get a visa as a Taiwanese, to get a visa to come to America as a tourist has been greatly simplified. And so we have some tremendous tourism opportunities for those folks who would love to come to Middle America and see what we're all about. And so this resolution really merely recognizes our partners in Taiwan. It encourages their membership on various committees that has observer status in the United States, in the United Nations, something that they wish to do. And I'd ask you to support this in honor of our friends in Taiwan. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Rave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Mr. President. Just very briefly, I've, like Senator Thiessen, had the opportunity to witness this country firsthand, and they are fantastic partners of our state. Just a year ago, we signed a very large contract of wheat, exporting wheat to their country, and they're good friends, good partners. I would just ask for your support of this resolution. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Thiessen's motion that HCR 1007 be concurred in. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs. Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holin.
Aye.
Hunhoff. Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen. Valley. Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Valley. Mr. President, there are ayes 34, excused 1.
Senator Thiessen's motion that HCR 1007 be concurred in, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and HCR 1007 is so concurred in.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1008, a concurrent resolution exposing and opposing United Nations Agenda 21. Senator Roden moves that the Senate do concur in HCR 1008 as found on page 436 of the House Journal.
Comments on that motion? Senator Roden, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we get started, I have an amendment at the desk to remedy a typo marked 1008OA, and I move it at this time.
Comments on the motion to amend as well as the HCR.
Thank you. The amendment is just simply to correct a typo on page 1, line 7.
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, you wish
yep,
for...
Please feel free to speak to it, and then we'll put it on.
All right. Thank
all
you.
All of it. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you HCR 1008, which is very simply a resolution opposing United Nations Agenda 21. Agenda 21 was a comprehensive plan that I believe contained extreme environmentalism, social engineering, and global political control. And it was initiated by the United Nations Conference on Environment and Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a bill introduced in the House, a regular bill that dealt with Agenda 21. It was heard a week or two ago in House State Affairs and brought to the surface some problems with putting that language in statute. In regard to ongoing research at our universities. It was urged then that we convert this to a resolution, so that's what you see today. Prior to this year, I had very little understanding of Agenda 21. Through this process, it's encouraged me to do a little research, and in fact, I went to their website and printed off some of the information from Agenda 21, and it was I believe, 700 pages that I felt represented complete and total takeover by international and national and local governments into all aspects of life. I printed off just the four chapters dealing with agriculture, and I was just amazed at how much, how inclusive their plan contained in Agenda 21. I believe that it's been brought more to the surface, and I've been asked why now, seeing how this was passed in 1992, what brings it to the surface today? Well, I believe the political conditions of the day has certainly brought it to the surface and put it on people's radar, and I think it's more than appropriate that we pass a resolution spelling out and exposing part of that agenda and taking a stand in opposition. So I would urge your support of HCR 1008. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senator Roden's motion to amend Mark Charlie 1008 Oscar Alpha on the motion to amend. We'll go ahead and put the amendment on, sir. All those in favor of this amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you, Senator Amdahl, for your patience. Comments on HCR 1008, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow senators, I'd urge you to educate yourself on what's going on Agenda 21. I, too, wasn't familiar with it until last year. This is serious business. This is not something they have, we'll say, the United States interests in. And I know we want to get on with other things, but I would encourage you to support this resolution and to educate yourself on what Agenda 21 is. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Amdahl. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Roden's motion that HCR 1008 be concurred in. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell. Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkeby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
No.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Buell. Valley.
Why don't you excuse him? I don't know.
Okay. Mr. President, there are ayes 31, nays 2, excuse 2.
Senator Rhodes' motion that the Senate do concur in HCR 1008 with the amendment having received a majority vote of the members elect is hereby declared passed, and HCR 1008 as amended is so concurred in. We are now on to consideration of committee reports, please.
Senator also moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on State Affairs on House Bill 1075 as found on page 550 of the Senate Journal, also State Affairs on House Bill 1087 as found on page 551 of the Senate Journal, also Health and Human Services on House Bill 1126 as found on page 551 of the Senate Journal, also State Affairs on House Bill 1108 as found on page 557 of the Senate Journal, also Transportation on House Bill 1144 as found on page 556 be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Our next item is consent calendars, especially for our students that are watching, listening, and here. We actually, these are bills that are not contentious and come out of committee unanimously and cannot be debated. Now, there will be a couple of bills that will be pulled off for tomorrow that will be debated. On motion under rules, joint rules, the President is pulling House Bill 1174, as that requires a two-thirds. And also, Senator White has requested that House Bill 1208 be removed. And that's, both of those will be on the calendar for tomorrow.
House Bill 1110, an act to provide for openness in certain electronic records databases and to open certain information regarding electronic record systems. House Bill 1115, an act to clarify the deliberative process exception to certain open record provisions. House Bill 1116, an act to revise the terms and expiration dates of appointees to certain boards and commissions.
House Bill 1110, 1115, and 1116, having received second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Any questions on any of these bills? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1110, 1115, and 1116. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you, ma'am. House Bills 1110, 1115, 1116, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are all hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Titles are all approved. We are now on to second reading of House Bills. This is our debate calendar, ladies and gentlemen.
House Bill 1162, an act to provide for special organ donation decals for license plates.
House Bill 1162, having received second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any?
Mr. President.
House Bill 1162, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Remarks, Senator Ray.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I thought we moved that down farther on the calendar. I apologize.
No worries.
This is the organ donation license plate bill, correct?
Just a second. Stand by here. Yes, it's correct. It was
Thank
deferred. All the others were deferred, so we
Sorry.
Have that in order. No poly.
My bad, Mr. President.
No worries.
Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is about as straightforward as it gets. This bill is will designate on license plates if you're an organ donator or if you support organ donation. You can apply for the plate through the same process the Department of Transportation currently has in place for receiving a special plate like the veterans plates or the firefighter plates, et cetera. The process will be the same. There is a fee for that that is applicable, and that's the same fee that's in place for any other specialized plate that you currently can receive. It's just the ability for these folks to show their support for organ donation. The Department of Transportation is on board with this. They helped write the rules and will help come up with the design and collect the fee, and this is all part of that process. So I'd stand by for any questions, and thank you, Mr. President. I apologize again for the delay.
No worries. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1162. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
No.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 33, nays 2.
Thank you. House Bill 1162, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? It's approved then.
House Bill 1013, an act to authorize the Board of Regents to construct multi-use storage facilities at South Dakota State University and to make an appropriation therefor.
House Bill 1013, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. President.
This is about South Dakota State.
Yes, it is. I am an alumni of South Dakota State.
However, the University of South Dakota is also in my district,
so I wear two hats.
I was looking over here. So.
Yes, I'm over here.
Thank you.
I'd like to speak to you today about House Bill 1013. It's an act for the Board of Regents to be authorized to construct a multi-use storage facility at the South Dakota State University. This storage space would be about 5,000 square feet. Cost of the construction is about $325,000, which is $65 per square foot. The new storage facilities are necessary to replace some obsolete facilities scheduled for demolition and to consolidate the operations from separated locations. This building will be funded from other funds. Those monies are set aside from grant indirect cost receipts and plant funds that have been accumulated for this purpose. Therefore, I urge you to support this bill of House Bill 1013.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1013. Requires two-thirds majority vote for passage. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
No.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 33, nays 2.
Thank you. House Bill 1013, having received a two-thirds majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Title's approved. Think about becoming pages, young ladies and young men. Okay? Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
House Bill 1014, an act to authorize the Board of Regents to purchase a structure for use by South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and to make an appropriation therefor.
Thank you, ma'am. House Bill 1014, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Engineer Edelstein.
That's part of my pitch. But anyway, in 1996, the School of Mines Foundation, a charitable body that somehow solicits the donations with a minor amount of arm twisting from some of the best engineers in the world, successfully, purchased a $4,200 building, and with the usual skill of West River engineers, moved this building onto the School of Mines property, and with the usual intelligent architectural and major effort, they converted it to an excellent daycare center. Only could have happened on the School of Mines campus, as the president just noted. Now they furnished the building, and they've leased it to the School of Mines for $1 a year. And as time has gone on, the conclusion has been reached, A, that $1 a year is a little much to charge for 4,200 square feet, and they wanted to stop spending all that loot. And besides that, it's built on state land owned by a foundation, and who knows what will happen tomorrow. So the arrangement was made, and I'm asking you to vote to allow the Board of Regents to pay one entire dollar, which will take a two-thirds vote, for this wonderful 4,200-square-foot building, which is, for all you want to know about, it's about 25,000th of a cent. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we seem from time to time to go back and forth from one side of the chamber to the other, talking about jackrabbits and coyotes and coyotes and jackrabbits. And I just want you to know that right dead center in the middle of your chamber, Senator Amdahl and Senator Teason are hard rockers that support this bill.
We love your cafe.
Even the page got it.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage. House Bill 1014 requires two-thirds majority vote for passage. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Oh, dollar? Aye. Yes.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkeby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 35.
House Bill 1014, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any title questions? Title's approved.
House Bill 1015, an act to authorize the Board of Regents to contract for the construction of an addition, remodeling, and renovation of Madary Commons on the campus of South Dakota State University and to make an appropriation therefore.
House Bill 1015, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Jones. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know. We just had to share the wealth. Mr. President, members of the Senate, I bring to you House Bill 1015. This is repurposing a building located on the campus that has been used as a food service for about 40 years. But the students are being relocated more to the southeast part of campus. This building is located on the northwest side of campus. This would cost about $3 million to renovate and also add a small 4,000-square-foot construction onto the present building. The dollars will come out of the higher education facility funds for maintenance and repair and also from university support fees, the indirect costs that come in off from grants that can be used for these purposes. The main reason that this is happening, they're going to close down the food service part of this building. They're going to relocate the admission office, the financial aid, registration, records, and scholarships. All of those units will be relocated into this one building. It becomes a one-stop shop for those new students that are looking at coming to South Dakota State University and can receive all of that help at one location. It's also located on the northwest side of campus, and so that can be provide greater opportunities for parking for the students that currently are trying to get there. You have to go to the administration building, which is located in the center of campus. This will allow the students and families who are not familiar with the campus to be readily served. It's a very customer-friendly move, and I appreciate your support on House Bill 1015.
Further remarks on House Bill 1015. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1015. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein. Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Pauline.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Monroe.
No.
Nerstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
No.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Tiedemann.
Aye. Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 32, nays 3.
Thank you. House Bill 1015, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? It is approved then.
House Bill 1016, an act to revise the location of the COW-CAF Research and Education Unit authorized in Chapter 107 of the 2012 session laws.
Thank you. House Bill 1016, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Sutton, good afternoon.
Mr. President, good afternoon. May I have a personal privilege while speaking to this bill as well?
Absolutely.
In committee yesterday, we're hearing House Bill 1016. I just thought I'd share with the body something that was brought to me that I'd kind of even forgotten about. When my Grandpa Billy... He served in the legislature, same name as me, in the mid-70s. And he left the legislature in, at the end, about 78. And then in 82, he was killed in a farm accident. And after he had passed away, my grandma, with some other people, started the Billy Sutton Memorial Scholarship at SDSU for students that participate in the animal science department. And so I just thought that was a neat piece of history that goes a long ways back. And so with that, I'll discuss this bill a little bit and go from there. So 1016 amends the 2012 10-year capital improvement legislation, which was at the time House Bill 1051, to clarify that the COW-CAF Research and Education Unit will be located near Brookings rather than near Volga, as stated in the original authorization. I would have preferred that this would have been in Burke, but they had different ideas, apparently, and so didn't listen to me on that one. Initially, the COW-CAF Research and Education Unit was planned to be located on land near Volga. and it was acquired for beef research purposes. And subsequent to the initial approval of the 10-year capital improvement plan, South Dakota State chose an alternate site in the vicinity north of campus and near the existing beef breeding unit facilities and beef nutrition facilities. So very simple, but the Volga site actually provides necessary added pasture areas and excellent future research opportunities. So I would encourage your support of this piece of legislation and the history that goes with it. Thank you, Mr. President.
He was a great man, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1016. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
No.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holleen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 34, nays 1.
House Bill 1016, having received a majority vote of the member, two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any title questions? Title's approved.
House Bill 1049, an act to transfer the value-added agriculture subfund from the Governor's Office of Economic Development to the Department of Agriculture.
House Bill 1049, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Senator Rave, comments.
Mr. President, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, today I bring you House Bill 1049, which transfers the value-added ag sum fund to the South Dakota Department of Ag. The South Dakota Department of Ag currently has more active dealings with individuals who could participate and utilize this program more efficiently than it is now under GOED, which is the Governor's Office of Economic Development. There's been low interest in it to this point, and it's felt that if the program is moved under the Department of Agriculture, it would be more applicable and would be better utilized. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the dollars in the program currently, and I'm going to call it the VASF, the Value Added Subfund. The VASF receives $135,000 per year. That's in Codified Law 10-47B-149. It's under the motor fuel tax collected from the motor fuel used for non-highway purposes. Current value in that fund is $915,000 in cash available to be loaned to viable projects. $111,000 of that fund has been finalized loan documents and is in repayment. $450,000 of that fund is out to projects that are in the process of completing their project as submitted. And there's $200,000 that has been loaned to projects that appeared to be not going forward or have failed and is yet to be forgiven or determined if there is a possibility that it could be repaid. The proposed bill utilizes existing staff with an adjustment to responsibilities to handle the additional financial program. The Department of Ag staff members would administer the program, promote the program, accept applications, verify the projects, do the necessary paperwork, present the project and staff recommendation to the value-added subfund board. Ladies and gentlemen, I would ask for your support of House Bill 1049. Mr. President, I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Ray. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1049 requires two-thirds vote. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford. Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Yes.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman. Holleen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones. Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
No.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
No.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Brown. Mr. President, there were ayes 32, nays 3.
House Bill 1049, having received two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Title is approved.
House Bill 1112, an act to clarify the application of certain open meetings provisions to certain three-member public boards.
Thank you. House Bill 1112, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. Well, if some of you remember the discussion that we had a few weeks ago about the Public Utilities Commission, that three-member board, and how they were having difficulties functioning and carrying out administrative duties and still being in compliance with open meeting provisions, well, this is deja vu. Because we have townships, road districts, and Class 3, very small municipalities, who also operate with three-person boards. And so Farmer A, who's township chair, calls Farmer B, who's township vice chair, and says that, "I noticed that the stop sign on our township road got run over last night, and so can you meet me over there with some tools and we'll fix it?" And so they did. And they were reprimanded by the Open Meeting Commission for a violation of open meetings laws. So then Farmer C calls up Farmer D and says, "We've had a big snowstorm and we got some roads that are drifted and we need to take a look at them to put up a road closed sign because people can't get through, they're going to get stuck and it'll be a problem." So they meet at the roadside and confirm that the road is blocked and they put up a road closed sign. And they get reprimanded by the Open Meetings Commission for a violation of open meetings laws. So the Open Government Task Force saw this problem, and they have proposed the following solution, which is House Bill 1112, which says in part, "May carry out ministerial functions of that township, district, or municipality, or undertaking a factual investigation of conditions related to public safety, the meeting is not subject to the provisions of this chapter." So that's their solution. This is offered to us by the Open Government Task Force, and I'd ask your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1112. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holin.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby. Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 35.
House Bill 1112, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Title is approved.
House Bill 1217, an act to revise and expand certain provisions related to organ and tissue donation.
House Bill 1217, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, it's my privilege to bring to you House Bill 1217 on behalf of the Office of the Governor. South Dakotans have long demonstrated their generosity and caring toward others by supporting organ and tissue donation as a life-saving gift. 55% of South Dakotans have registered to be organ and tissue donors upon their deaths. This is well above the national average of 43%. However, this number has stagnated and held steady with little increase over the past several years. Today, 116,000 Americans are waiting for life-saving transplant. 3,000 of those are located in the upper Midwest. The goal of House Bill 1217 is to increase the number of people who registered to be donors by establishing an efficient and accessible means of doing so via an online registration through the Department of Public Safety. And it also allows individuals to remove their donor designation online should they choose to do so. This bill, if passed, will ensure individuals receive information about donation by requiring the Department of Public Safety to distribute information through their website, mail, posters, and in the driver's license manual. It's also important to note that much of this is already being done. 1217 allows for revisions to the driver's license identification card form so individuals check one box affirming their desire to be on the organ and tissue donation list upon their death. It also allows organ and tissue and eye donation agencies electronic access to donor registration information on prospective donors, making it no longer necessary for agencies to call State Patrol for information. I would also note, just on a personal note, this bill was the original donation designation on driver's license, I believe, was passed back in 2002 or thereabouts. Our own president pro tem, Matt Michaels, carried that legislation, and it's important to know that he has, pardon the pun, a lot of skin in the game, along with another joke that falls flat in the Senate. I'm going to give up one of these days. Also important to note, and I think worthy of recognition, is Deb Bowman, who has invested a great deal in seeing this this program through and to the point that it is today. For me, it's been kind of a, I've come full circle. I opposed certain parts of that program when it was originally introduced and some changes were made. In the last year, I will say, I lost my oldest brother and my wife's brother, who happened to be my age. Unique stories in that my brother, his life was extended by a number of years because somebody donated an organ. So his quality of life was were extended by that donation. My wife's brother, who died, was in turn an organ donor. And so it's brought it home to me just how important this program is and how important these gifts are. I'd urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question.
State your question, Senator.
This is a great thing. I know it's a great thing. I also know there is a belief of some people that you won't make it to heaven, so to speak, in their area if any part of your body is taken. So all I'm wondering is an online situation, is that how is that protected from, say, me putting my oldest son or one of my children on?
Senator Roden, were you able to hear the question and wish to respond?
I believe so, Mr. President. I believe the question is if there are safeguards in place to prevent somebody from being signed up without their knowledge. And I'm not sure that I have a thorough answer for you, Senator Bradford, but this program would be set up much the same with much the same security as we have in other areas. Obviously, this would be done through your driver's license, so the person making the application would have to provide the driver's license number, much the same as you would provide a Social Security number, and we know what that entails. And I believe there are other safeguards in place, but as far as details on those safeguards, I probably couldn't give you details.
Senator Bradford, you have the floor.
Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Soholt, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to speak in support of this bill. And when you are registered as a donor, if that situation comes to pass, your family is still involved. This is a directional about your wishes, and it is hoped that family members speak about those wishes to others before there is a situation where they have to decide on your behalf. So there's also safeguards not only from the security measures of what might be on the internet, but the family being involved in the final decision-making whether organ donation does happen.
Further remarks?
Well, due to technology, I would like to take a personal privilege. We have listening from Minneapolis area, Deb Bowman. She's listening with holding her grandson, Mason, with her daughter, Jess. And Jess donated her kidney to Deb. And by virtue of that donation, Deb is able to be holding her grandson, Mason Kay, and the middle name Kay, C-A-Y, was in memory of Deb. We also have up here Tim Bjorkman, who is living proof in person of a gift of life. And I would encourage everyone to pass this on and be advocates if you so believe in this. So we appreciate this. Deb, hi Mason. Hi Jess. Further remarks? Hearing none. The question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1217. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Here.
Aye. Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are ayes 35.
House Bill 1217, having received a majority vote, unanimous vote of the Senate, having received such, is declared passed. Any questions on the title? The title is approved. I have quite a few. That's the end of our calendar. And thank you, Senator Roden, very much. I have quite a few bills here to sign, again, just like yesterday. So let's take announcements. But before I call on you. A number of us knew Milo Smith. Milo was one of our sergeant-at-arms, and his funeral is Saturday here at the Episcopal Church Trinity. Visitation, it's 9 in the morning, and service is 10 in the morning. And please keep Milo and his family in our thoughts and prayers. So announcements. Announcements. Senator Hunoff. Hi.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Human Services tomorrow at 10.
10 o'clock. Senator Valley.
Senate Transportation, 9 o'clock.
Thank you. Senator Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local Government, 8 a.m.
Senator Roden.
Thank you. Senate State Affairs, 10 o'clock, 4:14.
Senator Krebs.
Catacombs Caucus, 7 a.m. in the large conference room downstairs.
7 a.m. Catacombs Caucus. Senator Peters.
Good morning. We're going to have Senate appropriations tomorrow at 8:30. We have two bills on our calendar. And then I also need to extort some money out of some folks sitting on the Senate floor, if you don't mind. We have kids voting. We have a need to get some money out of you in order to pay for this wonderful program. If you do it outside of your campaign funds, it is tax deductible. And please write your checks to Kids Voting, and we'll be happy to take your money. But just a little bit more on a serious note on that, for those of you who don't know what this program is, it will benefit us and our children going forward, not only our and those of you who have grandchildren. It teaches them how to vote. It teaches them that it should be a habit to go vote. It shouldn't be us on a campaign trail knocking on doors, yes, to get elected, but not begging people to get to the polls. Kids Voting is a great organization. It helps kids get into the habit of voting and gets them into a good habit. And you start them early, get them to vote, and then hopefully it's easier for us in the long run to not beg folks to vote, but get them into the habit to vote. So please, Senator Kirkaby and myself and Senator Hunoff are working hard already on your team for the Senate, and we really need your donations in order to beat the House. So we'd appreciate it for the basketball game. Thank you.
Thank you. It's for the kids. It's for the kids. Senator Soholt.
Thank you. Tomorrow, Representative Sly has spearheaded an effort of cancer awareness, and I've been helping her on the Senate side of things, and you've been asked, how, in what ways has your life been touched by cancer, by those you know and by those you love? And so tomorrow you're going to have ribbons on your desk that indicate all of the different colors of the way that we have been touched in our lives with cancer. I think it's interesting to note that in 2010, $124 billion was the dollar amount burden of cancer in our country. And that doesn't include lost time and all of the hardship and the emotional strife that families go through. The number one is breast, two is colorectal, then lung, lymphoma, and prostate. And with a 2% increase, it's estimated by 2020 that we would have a $773 billion cancer burden in our country. So it really behooves us to not only think about those that we care about that have had cancer, but also to always put primary prevention and early detection screening into the forefront of how we do public policy.
Thank you. Further announcements? Any further announcements? Okay, feel free to be on your way, and we'll adjourn after I sign all these bills. Thank you, Senators, for a great day. President, under the Constitution, is required to sign in open session bills that have passed both the House and the Senate and read their titles in open sessions. President is signing an act to exempt persons hunting mountain lions from the requirement to wear fluorescent orange exterior garments. Say, Jack, what's your grandpa doing up there? Jack? Is that your grandpa there? And who's sitting next to you then, besides your grandpa? Grandma and grandpa, do they know each other? Wow, that's fun to visit grandpa. Maybe you can see him on the floor. It's great to have you here, Jack. President signing an act to require the reporting of the outcomes of certain licensures and certification examinations. That's Senate Bill 3. Thanks. President signing an act to repeal certain provisions regarding the Automated Library System Fund. Senate Bill 14. President is signing an act to make an appropriation for the construction and renovation of certain office buildings in Rapid City for the Department of Agriculture and to declare an emergency. That's Senate Bill 22. President is signing an act to authorize the Department of Military to purchase land for use by the South Dakota Army National Guard to make an appropriation, therefore, and declare an emergency. That's Senate Bill 29. President signing an act to authorize the Department of Military to construct a motor vehicle storage building in Sioux Falls to make an appropriation, therefore, and declare an emergency. Senate Bill 30. President is signing an act to authorize the use of online reverse auctions for the procurement of certain goods and services by government agencies. Senate Bill 33.
President is signing an act to allow for the prosecution to appeal from certain judgments of acquittal, and that's 35. The President is signing an act to protect the identity of a person or entity supplying the intravenous injection substance for executions and to increase the penalty for a violation of those provisions. 36. The President is signing an act to define a credit card bank and to revise certain provisions regarding the distribution of bank franchise tax. That's Senate Bill 56. The President is signing an act to revise the controlled substance schedule and declare an emergency, Senate Bill 68. The President is signing an act to revise certain provisions of the Health Professionals Diversion Program, Senate Bill 69. The President is signing an act to increase the minimum salary payable to county officials, state's attorneys, and sheriffs. That's 86. The President is signing an act to authorize the county to deny bids on county sales of tax deed properties if the bidder is not current on property taxes due. That's Senate Bill 88. The President is signing an act to remove the required waiting period before cremated remains may be released to be scattered. That's Senate Bill 103. The President is signing an act to provide for the issuance of a resident medical license and to repeal certain resident training permits issued by the Board of Medical and Osteopathic Examiners, Senate Bill 118. The President is signing an act to provide a licensing reciprocity for social workers, Senate Bill 181. And the President is signing an act to repeal the state's membership in the Multi-State Tax Commission. That's Senate Bill 239. Okay, Jeanette. Thank you, Carolyn.
Senator Tiedemann moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.